This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com.
Ross Tucker, he will join us in just a little bit. We will talk NFL draft with him. We'll talk about what the Panthers may do at 33, talk about depth of positions. And I already told you that if I'm the Panthers, I'm staying at 33 and 39 and 65. I'm going to make or break my draft with those three picks. And the only way I'm going out of 33 or 39 is if I get either a future one or two day two picks. So if I trade out of 33, probably give me a future one. If I trade out of 39, you're probably giving me two picks in the third round. It's the way I look at it. Otherwise, I'm staying right where I am, and I'm taking, I'm making sure out of those three picks, I come out with a wide receiver, I come out with a defensive back, and in my opinion, a defensive tackle if I can get one as well. I think they need a partner for Derek Brown, a long-term partner for him. And they need another cornerback. Not only is J.C. Horn physically unreliable, but even if he's reliable, you need another cornerback. If you want to build an elite defense, you got to have two good ones. Legit good ones. And they clearly need a wide receiver. They need more than one wide receiver, to be honest. I wouldn't be completely opposed to take two wide receivers. Even if they doubled up in the 30s, 33 and 39 on wide receivers, I'd be okay with that if I were the Carolina Panthers. But we've kind of like joked about it for the last couple of days. If I'm the Panthers, if I'm a Panthers fan, and I hear the Panthers have made a trade Thursday night and they're trading into the first round, I can't be happy about that. I just can't.
No, not at all.
Because you need multiple players, and there's nobody you can trade for that there isn't really an equivalent of picking at 33 or 39. I mean, nobody. There is one exception to that, but I don't know that they would ever trade for or trade into the first round to get Brock Bowers, because I don't think there's another... There's not another Brock Bowers in this draft. There's not another tight end like that. And the Panthers need a tight end. But I don't think Brock Bowers is going to be there at like, oh, I don't know, 24. I think Brock Bowers is going to be long gone by the time we get to there. As a matter of fact, most of the mock drafts I look at now say that Brock Bowers is not going to get past the Jets, even though I think that would be a silly pick for them. Because they need to make sure that they have a good offensive line, because you have to assume all the old players they brought in to protect Aaron Rodgers, there's just no way he stays healthy. All right, but so that would be my plan. If you're a Panthers fan, you're keeping 33, you're keeping 39, you're keeping 65. And, you know, if you trade back a few spots to pick up an extra, you know, a fifth rounder or whatever, that's okay. But ultimately, the integrity of picking where they are, I think you has to be maintained unless you are getting a significant return. And I hope that the Panthers do one or the other, either draft where they are or get a significant return for those picks. But I've seen a lot of people think that the Panthers are going to trade out of 33, and I think it really depends on... Is there somebody that wants a quarterback and wants to draft a Bo Nix or a Michael Penix or who knows? That to me is the only reason that you do it. Otherwise, take that pick, use it on a wide receiver, Ladd McConkey, Addie Mitchell. I don't know. One of those guys. That's what I would do. All right, Ross Tucker, former NFL offensive lineman, CBS Sports college football analyst, Westwood One NFL analyst. You have, what is your business card like? Is it a book? What is going on? Also, myfrontpagestory.com. We talk about this all the time. And it's Mother's Day coming up. So we're excited to do something cool for Mom. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Adam. You know, what's funny is I used to list all my things at the bottom of my email. You know how people have like an email?
Yeah.
And then it says like executive producer, Adam Gold Show or whatever. I had so many things down there. It was like a paragraph. It was obnoxious. So now I just don't have anything down there.
Good.
I just got rid of everything there because it was too much. I didn't really know what to highlight. Right now, though, since you teed me up, Adam, I'm going to highlight myfrontpagestory.com. By far the best Mother's Day gift ever. Listen, we don't really know what to get our moms, right? Like, I literally text Adam, my wife, hey, what should I get my mom for Mother's Day?
Then
I text my mom, hey, what should I get Kara for Mother's Day? Because I don't know. And you're probably like me. So now you do know. Go to myfrontpagestory.com. It's unbelievable. You literally talk to a writer for like 10 minutes while you're driving to Chick-fil-A or driving home from work. Tell them how amazing your mom is. They write this awesome story. For those of you that are watching on YouTube, you can see it's framed, pictures, beautiful. I can almost guarantee they'll cry happy tears. And the best thing is, it'll be hanging up in the house forever. So it's right. Like...
Adam Gold in studio with my man, Coach Pete DeRuta, Capital Financial Advisory Group. Financial advice industry can be overwhelming for a lot of people. Is there a way to be sure you're getting the best service when you don't know?
Yeah, Adam, it's not just if you gave the money to a planning team and they did good the first year. I mean, anyone can do good for 1 year, but it's a track record and it's a long-term accounts that are very important. We call that a financial fill-up strategy, Adam, and that gives you lifetime income you can never outlive. We'll put together for you, the listener, your very own total retirement plan if you call right now.
Call and claim your comprehensive review with Coach Pete and the team, 888-843-0013, or text Adam to 600-700.
Adam Gold is a paid spokesman. Investment advisory services offered by Capital Financial Advisory Group, a North Carolina registered investment advisor.
It's like a new gift every day. It's called myfrontpagestory.com. Myfrontpagestory. Let's be honest, right? Like, moms are everybody's number one pick.
Uh-huh.
There are no moms that end up being a bust, right? I mean, I'm sure there are some. I don't know many. Most moms are a pretty good,
okay.
Are a pretty solid pick if you take them in right. Your draft. Get them an awesome gift. Myfrontpagestory.com.
You should never draft a mom of need. Right, you should always draft best mom available.
My mom was a reach mom, but it's worked out.
Ross Tucker is joining us here. All right, so the Panthers don't have anything to do on Thursday other than watch and enjoy the draft. Although, if one of the top five quarterbacks happens to sneak out of the first round, it probably gives them some things to consider. On Thursday night into Friday during the day, do you think any of the top five quarterbacks? And I'm thinking that J.J. McCarthy and Michael Penix are 4 and 5. Do you think any of them are possibly going to fall out of the first round, or maybe will all six go in the first round?
I think we'll see. I think we'll probably end up seeing five. I'd be surprised if it's six. You know, I'm following all the information, Adam, like you are. Tom Pelissero does a terrific job for NFL Network. He says he thinks six will go in the first round. Peter Schrager for Fox, NFL Network, He thinks six might go in the top half of the first round. That sounds like a lot to me. I mean, that would surprise me. You know, remember last year, I probably came on with you, Adam, and they were saying, Will Levis was going number two to Houston, or Will Levis was going number four to the Indianapolis Colts. He goes in the second round. You know, the year before that, it was, hey, the Detroit Lions, number two, Malik Willis, very much in play.
Yeah.
Really? Because they took Aiden Hudges, and Malik Willis went like in the third round.
Yeah.
I mean, so we'll see. I will say there's some teams in a really bad position. You know, I know it didn't look good last year for Carolina and Bryce Young, and I get that. But, man, I'd still rather be in their spot than being like the Vikings at 11 or the Broncos at 12, where everybody knows you're desperate for a quarterback, and yet what can you do at best? At best, maybe you can trade up with the Patriots or the Cardinals at 3 or 4 and get the third or fourth best guy. That's your best-case scenario, a king's ransom for maybe the fourth best guy. That doesn't sound like a very good process to me, Adam.
Ross Tucker is joining us here. I know you do a lot of podcasts with Greg Cosell.
Yeah.
And I mean, to me, he is fascinating in his film study and all of that. How does he look at this quarterback class? Is Caleb Williams way ahead of everybody? What about Jaden Daniels and Drake May? And where do the other guys stack?
You know what's crazy about that is all season, or at least even before the season, it was Caleb Williams, Drake May. Drake May, Caleb Williams, right? And I'm watching these guys all year and watching some of their games. Then, obviously, Jaden Daniels had the phenomenal year, and he gets the Heisman, all that stuff. After the season, every guy I've had come on the Ross Tucker podcast, and we're hardcore football there. Yep. And, you know, not only Greg Cosell, but Phil Simms, Dan Orlovsky, Chase Daniel, Lewis Riddick. It's like unanimous, Adam. I mean, they all love Jaden Daniels. And they all do not like Drake May.
Really?
All of them, across the board. Like, that was kind of the consensus, that Drake May was raw. Drake May was – Phil Simms called him disappointing. And then Jaden Daniels, they're saying he's the best progression reader of the group, the best pocket passer of the group. We know he's the fastest.
Yeah.
So I like Jaden Daniels. I think he's the best. And if I'm going to have all these guys on my show – and I'm going to ask him the question, and every guy says the same thing, I might as well believe him. Otherwise, why am I even having him on the show? So I'm going to believe him. And so I got Jaden Daniels number one. I got Drake May quite a bit lower based on all this stuff. It's interesting. I mean, obviously, you're right there in Raleigh. Yeah. I don't know what happened with Drake May. I know the O-line wasn't as good.
No.
And he lost his receiver and all that stuff. But still, there were people before the year that said Drake May was better than Caleb Williams.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think people looked at North Carolina the end of their season 2 years in a row, to be honest, and they did not play well down the stretch. But, yeah, his receiving core was not great. It took a while to get Tez Walker even eligible to play, and then he showed flashes. And I don't know that Tez Walker is anything better. I mean, he might be a late day two pick, probably a day three pick, so I don't think he had great receivers. I also don't know that Carolina's offensive coaching put Drake May in the best positions. But, I mean, I'm not the trained expert, but I like May a lot. So I actually think that as long as he doesn't have to play in year one, I think he is a prospect that can absolutely develop into somebody really good. He's got good size. He's got a very good arm. I think the biggest problem I have with him is that he shows some medium range inaccuracies.
Yeah.
That to me is the only real problem with him. I think he throws a good deep ball. He's a super athlete. He's got great size, but I think he's a little inaccurate to the middle of the field.
The knocks I heard were the consistent throw to throw accuracy. And then that he misses too many layups. That's a hard thing in the NFL. I mean, if a guy's open for a first down, you got to be able to put it on him.
Right.
I mean, you just don't get that many opportunities. So I heard missing layups, and I heard down-to-down accuracy not there for Drake May.
Yeah, you know, part of it is also he just didn't have the weapons around him the last couple of years. If he had the weapons like that Mitch Trubisky threw to when Trubisky was the quarterback here, I think May would look a whole lot better. Ross Tucker is joining us here. A few more minutes with him. Which position do you feel like, because Carolina's going to pick 33 and 39. Which position do you think is, because they need wide receiver, cornerback, offensive line. I think they need another defensive tackle as well. Which position do you think is deepest that will provide a lot of value early in the second round, even into the middle of the third?
So what's interesting is the first three you named, receiver, corner, O-line. I think there's a really good chance the Panthers can get three starters three. That'd be really impressive. If they can get three starters with two picks, now we're talking. But I do think they can get two starters out of those three positions in the 30s because there's a lot of good receivers.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of good receivers. There's a bunch of good offensive linemen, right? Like, you know, in those spots, maybe Graham Barton from Duke right? Maybe JPJ from Oregon. You know, there's some tackles that'll still be available there. Paul from Houston. I mean, there's a bunch of guys that they could get at O-line. Corner the same way. You know, it's probably not Terrion Arnold from Alabama or even Quinyon Mitchell from Toledo, but there's other guys. Maybe Kool-Aid McKinstry still there at 33, right? Maybe Rakestraw from Missouri, if you want a nickel back. I mean, there's guys that'll be there, and even receiver, right? I mean, like, I can totally see them drafting Ladd McConkey,
right,
to give Bryce Young a guy that just gets open all the time, gets open, the Georgia receiver.
Yep.
Plus, I think it'd be pretty awesome for Ladd McConkey to learn from Adam Thielen for a year.
That is true. He's smaller, but again, everything you read about him and we've watched on tape at Georgia is all about he is just an elite route runner and can get open. The Panthers had nobody who could get open. Adam Thielen was the only guy who was ever open last year for Bryce Young. If they went wide receiver with both of those picks, I wouldn't hate it. But in terms of quarterback, I had just talked about Kool-Aid McKinstry, who might be there at 33. I think he's probably a late first-round pick. But TJ Tampa is another one of those cornerbacks who played at Iowa State that I know that I think that there is some interest there as well. I don't think Grant Barton's going to be around. I think when you're an interior offensive lineman and you run like a 4.8. And you're as good as he played tackle last year. He played every spot for Duke along the offensive front. I think he's going to be gone, unfortunately, or fortunately for him. He's a great player.
I would tend to agree. I think he seems like a guy that goes in the 20s, and the position versatility is just gigantic. I mean, it really, really is, because you never know who's going to get banged up. You never know who's going to start to play poorly. And if you have a guy that you can move to other spots,
yep.
Boy, that puts you in a really good position.
Ross Tucker, you played offensive line. Can you be a great team without a great center?
Yeah, I think so, actually. I think you can. You know, I played center, and center, the most important aspect of that is really the thinking part of it.
Right.
You know, I started, I think, 4 or 5 games at center in my time, and, you know, I was fine. I wasn't the reason why I'm trying to think we won a couple of them. We lost a couple of them, but I certainly wasn't the reason why we won or lost, right? Which is kind of what you want that position. Now, there are certain guys that better have elite athleticism, like a Jason Kelce. You know, you also, of course, have guys, you know, that are really powerful at that spot. But I think more than anything else, the center needs to be tough, durable, and smart, right? Like, yep. If he can make sure everybody's blocking the right guys and he's tough and durable, you can scheme around potentially perceived shortcomings athletically. Certainly the teams I played for did.
I mean, I know the Panthers offensive line was never better than when they had Ryan Khalil. And Khalil was an elite center. And, you know, some of the best offensive lines. I mean, whether you go back to the Steelers and Mike Webster, I mean, they're just... If you have an elite center, I think it helps quite a bit.
Yeah. I don't think you need one, but I think it helps. It's interesting about offensive line, different than other spots, right? Offensive line, it's not – I don't think it's as important, Adam, that you have somebody really good as it is that you don't have someone really bad, you know? Like,
wow.
I mean that. Like, you know, on D-line – if you have average players, they're not really going to make a difference.
Right.
You need above average. Like, you need a Derek Brown. You need a difference-making player. On the offensive line, you just can't have a difference-making player negatively.
You know, it's interesting. As we let you go, Ross Tucker is joining us here on the Adam Gold Show. Our friend Steve Logan, former head coach at East Carolina, and he's been an assistant in the NFL a lot. He had basically sometimes he would just ask his offensive line to get run over slowly. Right, just kind of get in the way and don't make it easy on the D line.
We used to say get run over with dignity.
Oh man, myfrontpagestory.com for Mother's Day. Craft a story that is worthy of mom or your wife or your daughter for Mother's Day. Ross Tucker, former NFL offensive lineman, all over the place. I appreciate your time, my man. We'll talk again soon.
Yeah, my pleasure, Adam, anytime. Thank you for having me.
You got it, always.